Dr. Crandall and his wife Diane are here today with us, and we go way back. I grew up in upstate New York, and while I was growing up there, Dr. Crandall was pastoring in Horseheads, New York, and in Penn Yan, New York. And then he actually came to our church as I was, I believe, a teenager at the time, and he spoke in our church. Our pastor's name at that time was Lewis Crandall, and Dr. Crandall came to speak there, and they thought that it was his son. And he just reminded me of that this morning. But he also was a pastor of a supporting church. He pastored at a church in Indianapolis. And so as we were on our way to Hong Kong, their church took us on for support. And then a little more, a note, you see all the things that he's done, and it's phenomenal. His bio is incredible. But he has also been a member of New Life Baptist Church and was here as we moved into this building. In fact, he reminded me this morning that when we first came in without the paint and all the work that had to be done yet, he was a part of the crew that came through and saw as we moved in here. So praise the Lord that God has been working in and through you. Come and minister to us, Dr. Crandall, and Lord bless you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is a very special delight and joy to be here and to be in the house of the Lord. And to see all that you have done. My, this is a bit different than the warehouse we walked in. Pastor turned to me and says, do you see any possibilities here at all? And I said, yeah, I think there is some possibility, but it'll take a lot of work. And somebody's been doing a lot of work because this is absolutely beautiful. In fact, the impression that you get when you walk in is really super. You've done a great job. And I'm so pleased that you now own the building and the ministry continues to go onward and forward for the glory and the honor of the Lord. It's good to see many of you that were here when we were here, but I think the great number of people in this audience, we've not had the opportunity of meeting. And I'd just like to stand here as a former member and thank you for continuing to move on onward and forward for the glory and the honor of the Lord. The Jevlicks, I think, are the oldest people here. You can see that just by looking at him, but I'm... Yeah, and you gave up your hair to be here. We're so thankful for the way God continues to bless your ministry here. And 21 years ago, we moved to Lake in the Hills. And so for Diane and I, it's like coming home. And we went over and drove by our old house where we used to live. It's not old, but it's a house that we had built when we moved here. And all the memories come flooding back. And then we did something that really surprised me yesterday. We went down Randall Road. When we moved here, there was two grocery stores and a McDonald's. And to drive down Randall Road, a Crandall on Randall Road, was just absolutely unbelievable. And then it took us 20 minutes to go 5 miles. I mean, this place is hopping. And it has certainly changed a lot from the days that we were here. But we praise the Lord for the 13 years that we were able to be here as the International Director of Gospel Literature Services and having the opportunity to travel around the world. And then, about 8 years ago, God called us to go to Answers in Genesis. And it was an exciting time for us as we had the opportunity to start their brand new worldwide ministry. And that ministry continues to go on, and we have just recently retired from Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, though we're still involved in taking trips for them. We're on our way to Turkey in just a few weeks, and so we're just praising the Lord for the opportunity God has given us to be able to minister in this fashion. And then I come, and I can wear another hat as well, and that is the hat of ABWE. It gets just a little bit sad when people say to me at the ABWE board meeting, well, you're the oldest board member here, right? And I have to shake my head and say, yeah, we're coming to 40 years of being on the board of ABWE, and knowing that this was a start of an ABWE ministry as a board member, I say congratulations for a job well done, preacher, and church family as well. So we praise the Lord at ABWE for all the good things that are happening here in this place. A lot of hours have been put in, a lot of prayer, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears, but God has been good and God has been faithful, and we praise Him for that. For those of you that don't know us, I was a pastor for 30 years, and then the Lord called us here to work with Gospel Literature Services and then with Answers in Genesis. In doing that, God has allowed us to travel all over the world. I was the international director in both of those ministries, and we're just praising the Lord for what He has done in allowing us to focus on global evangelism, the reaching of our world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has been a joy to travel around this world of ours. And so today, I would like to bring a message to my former church and bring you a global report. A global report about what I have observed God is doing around the world. Diane and I have traveled literally all over the world. We have been in 97 different countries of the world. And some of those countries are closed countries. Countries like Cuba and Saudi Arabia, Syria, China, Burma, Russia. And to be underground and to see what God is doing in building His church is greatly encouraging to us. And we're very, very thankful that God is keeping His promise in building His church. We've had the opportunity to preach in churches as small as 17 people and as large as 27,000 people in Seoul, South Korea. Jesus was with His disciples in a place in Israel called Caesarea Philippi, northern part of Israel. And it is at the headwaters of the Jordan River. And it was there that Jesus had His disciples seated on the rocks that surround that area. It's a very rocky area. And Jesus, and I want you to turn there to Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus told His disciples at that time these significant words, and we'll read them in just a moment, but He said this, "I will build my church. I will build my church." Ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus a truth teller? He is. He said He would build His church. Then there ought to be evidence all over the world that He is building His church. What I'd like to do today is to bring you some of that evidence, hoping that when you leave here today, you will leave here greatly encouraged and being able to say, "Wow, don't we have a wonderful God?" And to realize that this church in this place is part of God's fulfillment of His promise to build the church. Don't ever think that you're separated and you're here alone. Ladies and gentlemen, you're part of something a whole lot bigger than this. You're part of the global church planting ministry of God Himself when Jesus spoke to His disciples. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus, you're at verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, other Elijah, still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do men say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail or overcome you in that process. So this morning, as we give you a global report, I trust that you will be able to see the evidence that is around our world, and you will be encouraged. Now, I know there's a lot to be discouraged about. There's a lot of persecution going on in the church. We've heard about the Christians, many of them born-again Christians, on the hillsides and the mountainsides of Iraq. Many of those are Christians just like you and I. Many of those in people in terrible circumstances. Yes, there's all those things going on. But along with that is also the hand of God working in places very unusual, building His church, which encourages us and ought to motivate us to continue to do a great job in reaching our world for Christ. So as we move into this global report, we're going to go global. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us as we reveal some of the great things God is doing around the world. If you're going to give any kind of a global report, the first place you need to go is to the largest country of the world. That country is China. I had the opportunity of ministering and working for 3 weeks in the underground church of China. When I arrived in China, on purpose, I arrived at midnight. And I was alone. And they told me to watch for a very tall Chinese man. You know how they say they all look, what? No. They did. You know, you look at Chinese people and you'd see 3 or 4 tall guys. I had no idea other than that. Fortunately, he had my picture. And this very tall Chinese man came to me and said, without speaking to me directly, "Are you Dr. Crandall?" I thought, "Oh, this is high spy." "Whoa!" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Just follow me out the door, please." So I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be happy to do that." And so I followed him out to the door and got in this little car. And as he was putting himself in the car, because he was a tall Chinese man, I thought, "I don't even know who this guy is." Now I'm getting in a car at about 1 o'clock in the morning with this guy in the middle of China. What on earth am I doing here? I want to go home. Well, as we took off, we drove around the city. And he kept making circles. And I thought, "Oh, this is fun." And finally, he brings me to a bridge. And it's a big bridge there in China. And stopped in the middle of the bridge. And he said, "Okay, you can get out here." I said, "Okay, thanks." So he helped me get my suitcase out. And I said, "What's happening?" He said, "Just wait here." And he drove away. Beijing, middle of Beijing, in the middle of a bridge. About 2 o'clock in the morning, and there I stood. And I'm thinking, this is really funny. Pretty soon, a car came by and drove by me 3 times. And then, third time by, he stopped, rolled down his window, and said, "Are you Dr. Crandall?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Get in, please." So I thought, now I'm getting in the car of another man that I have never met before and have no idea who he is. Well, eventually we made it to the hotel. We parked 2 blocks away from the hotel so we could walk in rather than drive in. It was probably the seediest hotel I've ever been in my whole life. And I said to one of the folks there, "Why are you putting me in this hotel?" And they said, "Because no Americans would ever stay here." I said, "Well, you're right there." Then for the next 3 days, I played the role of a tourist. So if we were being followed, they would think that I was just there doing the touristy thing. When Mao took over in 1949, there were 4 million Christians in China. And he declared that by the time the next decade passed, there would be no Christians. 4 million of them would be killed and destroyed, and China would be without this fake, false religion called Christianity. I'm happy to tell you today, as a result of Jesus' promise, and as a result of the power of the Spirit of God, there are 135 million Christians in China right now. How many? 135 million. 1,200 people are getting saved every hour of every day in China today. God is doing exactly what He said He would do. He is building His church. And China is a great example. They came and picked me up in a van. And they had 4 men in the van, 2 in the front and 2 on either side of me. They picked me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they said, "We're taking you to a service." We drove around for a while and eventually came to an old factory. They took me upstairs in this old factory. The doors were closed and they opened the door. And inside, at this time in the morning, about 6:30 at this time, there were 250 Chinese people. And they had come to worship the Lord. The reason they come in early is so they won't be seen. And they were in a lock-in. Now, if you have teenagers, you know what a lock-in is. Except this was a little bit different. This was a 3-day lock-in with very little food, rice and lettuce. And then we had 1 day lettuce and rice. And it wasn't a lot of great food, but what a great time of fellowship. And when I walked in, all was in Chinese, this great big sign. And underneath it was my name. Of course, they'd given me no schedule on purpose. They didn't want me to know where I was going to be, because if I told somebody, it could be real problems for them. So I said, "Why is my name up there?" And they said, "Well, you're preaching this conference." Fortunately, they told me to be prepared to preach. I preached for 9 times. And we had such a wonderful time. It was like being in the first century church. These people were so hungry. They never wanted you to stop preaching. They wanted you to continue to preach and to teach them the things of God. One lady with 2 of her kids, you're not supposed to have 2, but she had 2. 2 of her kids rode in a train for 19 hours so she could be there and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Man, if that doesn't humble you. God is at work. The first place we visit today is China. The proliferation of the church there is absolutely astounding, and it's scaring the communists to death because they can't stop it. The underground church is alive and well. And then the Chinese have this saying, once you get saved, you're to reach somebody else. And then once you've reached somebody else, then you're supposed to be part of the Back to Jerusalem program. Now, this is really strange because God's pretty smart. In the heart of every Chinese is this theme and this goal, Back to Jerusalem, with a goal of reaching the Arab population for Christ. And these people get jobs in Arab-speaking countries, in all over the Arab world, Muslim countries. They get jobs there, but they're sent in as missionaries. And they don't carry any offense with them whatsoever. And they're not considered a risk to the Muslim population. And they are leading thousands of Arabs to Christ. There have been more Muslims led to Christ in the last 20 years than in the previous 200. God is at work in unusual ways in building His church, which is exactly what He said He would do. We jump out of plane and we travel from Beijing and we travel over to South Korea. God is at work in South Korea. And it all started with one woman. Don't you ever think you can't make an impact, sir, madam. Don't you ever think. And it was in a country called the Wales. And in Wales, there was a woman who began to pray for a revival in Wales. And a great, this is in 1911, and a great revival called the Welsh Revival in the early 1900s took place. Hundreds and hundreds of people got saved. Two of the young men that got saved met in college. They decided that they're going to go to a strange country that very few white men had ever seen. It's called Korea. It was a pagan country with no Christianity, no Christian background whatsoever. These two young men, as a result of this revival, as a result of that one woman praying, got gloriously saved, went to Bible school, and went to Korea. And today, I'm happy to tell you that in South Korea, 30% of the population are born-again Christians. Can you say amen? A whole country, 30% of them know Christ as personal Savior. And the churches there are gigantic. The church I spoke in was considered a small, bigger church. And they had 27,000 people in that church that Sunday morning when I preached there. Always wanted to preach to a crowd like that. And God gave me that opportunity actually twice. But the largest churches run 60, 70,000 people. The church I was in has 8 choirs and 8 choir directors because they have all these services going on. And they're reaching their country for Christ. Now, what you don't know is the untold story of missions. And that is South Koreans every day risk their lives going into North Korea. And they're going in by the hundreds to reach their relatives and their friends for Christ. And the church in North Korea is growing as well, very secretly. They know very well if they get caught, they're dead men. On a cool summer evening, hundreds of Koreans will meet together at the border of North Korea. And they have these lanterns. You've seen them. They have little candles in them. They have these lanterns. And they light the lanterns, and they all stand waiting. And in the bottom of the lanterns are all this gospel literature. They stand and wait, and they pray that the winds will change. And pretty soon, sure enough, the wind begins to change. So now it's blowing from South Korea into North Korea. And then they release thousands and thousands. The sky lights up as these candles now rise with the hot air and blow all over North Korea. And when they land with gospel literature telling folks there how they can know Christ as personal Savior. That's a God thing. I don't know about you, but that's a shiver thing to realize these people have such a great desire to reach their fellow men and women, their friends, their relatives for Christ in that country. When they get saved in South Korea, immediately they're told they need to reproduce themselves right away. And I had the opportunity of preaching in a cathedral in Daegu, South Korea, which is dedicated to the memory of those early missionaries that came to that country and reached them for Christ. But remember, that all started by one woman that probably never even heard of Korea. And yet because of her ministry, several thousands and thousands of people have now come to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in the greatest missionary era in history. You know why? Because there are 7 billion people on planet Earth. Now let's see the age of the group. How many of you remember 1970? You have clear memories of back in 1970. In 1970, just think back, not that long ago, in 1970, the population was half what it is today in the world. What's happened since 1970 is a huge growth of the population on Earth. Now listen to this. there are more people alive today than have ever lived in all of history. That is, you take everybody that's dead, going back to the very beginning of human history, count them up, and it will not add up to 7 billion. You talk about an ideal time to be alive. You talk about an opportunity to reach the masses for Christ, and then add to that all the technology that God has given us to reach our world. We live in the most exciting missionary time in all of history, with 7 billion people and growing faster and faster and faster all the time. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, as he's ascending up into heaven, his last words, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world, and preach the gospel. We've been doing that, and now God is continuing to build his church, even in places that we can't go. Did you know that 70 miles off the coast of the United States is a little country called Cuba? Did you know there's revival in Cuba? When Castro took over, there were 400 churches, Baptist churches, on that little island of 10 million people. Today there are over 800 Baptist churches, because they can't do missions like we do missions. They can't leave the country unless your name is Puig and you can swing a baseball bat and hit a ball or something, but everybody else has to stay there in Cuba. Well, they can't do missions, so now they're reaching their own people, going up into the jungles and going up into the faraway places, and they're reaching hundreds and hundreds of people for Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ in Cuba is growing dramatically. Did you know in Israel, there are over 100 evangelical churches preaching and teaching the Word of God in the nation of Israel? Now, you'd think that there should be, but you know there hasn't been for a long, long time. In fact, it's not really totally legal, though they tell you it is, not totally legal to have a church in Israel. And yet, God is at work there. We were able to bring an Israeli geologist to Answers in Genesis and train him in biblical creationism. And then he was able to take that back now. He's going around to all these 100 churches teaching AIG material. And we praise God for what he is doing there. Now, how can this all happen? This can all happen because of another promise. Jesus said, if you go and reach the world for Christ, all power is given unto you. Not a little power, not enough power, but all power is given unto you. And he can do that which is most unusual. We just celebrated 9/11. We just celebrated that horrific time. During that time, I was here. And we printed a gospel booklet to be able to take into New York City, and we took lots of them, thousands of them. Only God could do this, though. One of those booklets was passed out to an editor of one of the major newspapers in New York City. He called us on the phone and said, I was on the street the other day, and one of your people handed me this book. And he said, that's exactly what New York City needs. If you can get me 50,000 of those books, we'll put them in Friday's edition of the newspaper. Glory to God! I didn't know where I was going to get 50,000, but we found them, and we got them there. And 50,000 homes received that gospel message. Who knows what the result of that is, but that certainly is one of those things that you'd call a God thing. While I was here at Gospel Literature Services, we raised $45,000 to buy 8 printing presses in China. They buy them at the black market. But we had no way of getting $45,000 into that country. So we're trying to figure out how to do it. Well, Dr. Eddie Wong, whom some of you may know, Dr. Eddie Wong was going in and out of China. And Eddie said, what we'll have to do is I'll have to carry the money. He took out the lining of his coat and he put $45,000 in his coat. And he said, I can't do this though unless there's a lot of prayer. So from Schaumburg, we initiated 131 people who were going to pray on the specific time that Eddie was to arrive in the country, knowing that they frisk you when you get there. And he just claimed the verse that God was going to blind their eyes. He says, I don't know how, but God will blind their eyes. He has more faith. It just blessed my heart to see his faith. But I worried about that $45,000. I got to tell you that. I could see writing all the donors, dear friends. So sad to tell you. Eddie and his plane, 747, got over to Beijing, was about ready to land, and pilot came on and said, you know, there's a huge monsoon. It's just sweeping over Beijing right now. We can't land. But we're going to circle for a while and see if there's any break in the weather. Eddie says, I was so frustrated because I knew people were praying now because they assumed I was going to be there. And he said, I'm just very, very nervous about $45,000 in my coat. They circled for about an hour and a half. The pilot came on and said, you know, there's been just a break. One small break in the weather, and I think we can make it. Now, if you fly a lot like I do, you don't like it when they say, I think we can make it. And they circled around and came through a break in that monsoon. And they tell me that as soon as the plane landed, the monsoon closed right back in. It was the only plane to land. It was well after midnight. Eddie's really nervous now because he and the 400 people on that plane are now going to go into a security hall, same security hall that I went through. And he was going to be searched. He knew it. But as they got to the security hall, all power, Jesus said, right? We don't forget that. All power is given unto you. They walked into the security area, and there wasn't a single person there. The man in charge had said, there's no planes going to land tonight. You guys can all go home. And the entire security force at the Beijing airport was sent home. He walked from the plane to a taxi cab with $45,000 in his coat. And now I can tell you all eight of those presses are operating today, printing millions and millions of copies of the Bible, gospel literature, you name it, because God promises all power. Do you know the fastest growing country today, per capita now, the fastest growing country today, as far as Christianity is concerned, is the country of Iran. More people being saved per capita in the country of Iran than any other country in the world. When we ministered here, we were serving 3,000 churches in the Philippines. And that was just Baptist churches. And there's hundreds of other evangelical churches in the Philippines that are reaching their country and all of those islands for the glory and the honor of the Lord, reaching 7 billion people. Now, let me help you with 7 billion. I sound like Obama, and I sound like the debt, except our debt's a whole lot greater than that. But let me describe. I need a description. In fact, if somebody told me, write out 7 billion, I'd have to stop and really think and keep adding zeros. You write a 7 and then 9 zeros. Put a person with each one of those. That's how many people are alive on planet Earth. 7 billion. If I took the pastor out here and said, I want you to walk, and I want you to take 7 billion steps. When you're done, I'll tell you, and you can come back inside. He would walk around the world 106 times. That's what 7 billion is. Here's a good one. 7 billion ants. Anybody have ant problems? 7 billion ants would weigh 23 tons. Can you imagine having 23 tons of ants in your house? 7 billion seconds ago, was 1789, and George Washington was the president of the United States. That's how enormous our mission field is today. And we have some of the greatest opportunities to reach the world for Christ of any generation before us. We think about people who went before us and didn't even know what they were accomplishing. Adoniram Judson, in the country of Burma, died feeling that he was a failure as a missionary. And yet there are over 900 Baptist churches in the country of Myanmar, Burma, each of them preaching the Word of God. While I was here, we were able to translate the first theology book in history in the Burmese language and had the opportunity to go there and make a presentation of that book. Though it's a communist country and it's closed, I received a special visa. When I arrived in Burma, I was met by a security force that had been hired by the churches to protect me as I came through. They took me on a very hot day. It was probably 110 or 112 degrees. They took me to a building, and they said, "We'll go up these stairs." What they did not tell me is that the church was on the 8th floor. And we climbed 8 floors with no windows in the hallways at all. And it probably got 120, 125. I've never sweat so bad in all my life. By the time I got up there, I was so sopping wet. By the time we got up there, we walked into the room, and there were about 280, 290 people that had come when they knew my plane was going to land. And bless their hearts, they were praying me into the country. Boy, if that doesn't humble you. Then I met the pastor. He walked up to me, and the pastor said, "You're going to like this one. Take off your pants." Excuse me? Thought his English was faulty. He meant something else. He says, "Take off your pants." I said, "Well, I'm kind of attached to them. I kind of like them." He says, No, you don't understand." He says, we want to put you in a lungi or whatever that thing is called. It's a dress. And he says, "We'll put a knot here, because if somebody should come in, we want you to look like us. You're our size." You could never go there. You're way too big. Tall. I fit right in. And so they took my pants off. Never happened before. And then they put this knot, and I said, "You don't understand, when I preach, I tend to move around a bit." And they said, "Well, doesn't matter if you step on it, you just redo the knot." And I said, "I don't know how to do this knot. That is a strange thing." I said, "Can I please use my belt?" And they kind of rolled their eyes and said, "If you have to." So I put the belt on and then rolled the thing down over so nobody would know that I had this loony on with a belt that held it up. And we had such a delightful time as these people for the first time got a book on theology for their country. And they have reproduced that now. And it's gone all over the country for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. They just had a meeting. They couldn't do it at a hotel like we would. They go up into the mountains so they don't get caught. 20,000 people showed up, Burmese people. 20,000 of them. And they were there for 4 days. So I said to the guy that was telling me this, the missionary that was telling me this, I said, "How'd you feed those people? They didn't have any refrigeration. What'd you do, eat grass?" He said, "No, we ate very well." I said, "How did you eat very well?" He says, "Well, one of the families gave 8 cows, and we led them up to the mountain. Somebody else gave us a whole bunch of goats, and we took them up the mountain." He said, "We don't need refrigeration." He said, "You don't kill them. You keep them alive until you're ready to eat. And then when the bell rings, it's slaughter time." And he said, "And we'd cook the meat, and we'd have the most wonderful time of fellowship." Adoniram Judson, I hope in heaven, I hope he knows. Because in every one of those churches is a picture of Adoniram Judson. And if you've never read his story, I'd encourage you to plan to do that because his work continues to this very day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are 16,350 people groups in the world. 16,350. There are 6,909 languages in the world. Get this, 6,909 languages. Only 400 of those languages have a completed Bible. Now, there's parts in all the languages, but only 400 of those languages have a full copy of the Word of God. We have a lot to do. Even in the famed 1040 window, God is at work in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. Diane and I were in Malaysia. Ken Ham went with us for a creation conference. And here we are in a Muslim country. And the registrations just kept coming in from all over Malaysia and then from Nepal and from other area countries, Muslim countries. We had 1,100 people show up for a four-day conference at a hotel. And they announced it out front. I thought it was going to be secret, but they announced it out front in this Muslim country. Now, you know Malaysia. You've heard about it. They lost two planes lately. That's the country I'm talking about. I'm talking about their capital city now. In that capital city of Malaysia, there are 80 evangelical churches within a 30-mile radius. 80 in a Muslim country. One of those churches has over 3,000 members. Oh, do they have persecution? Yeah, they have some. They have to be careful. Yeah, they have to be careful. But God is building his church in countries like Malaysia. Ladies and gentlemen, Saudi Arabia is a strange one because the king keeps announcing there are no Christians in Saudi Arabia. He knows better, but that's for public consummation. He wants everybody to think that there are no Christians. I can't go into a lot of detail, but I can tell you this. We can get, every month, we get 35,000 Bibles in the Saudi Arabia. That's a stack of Bibles, 35,000. And it doesn't even begin to meet the need. All power is given unto me. Saudi Arabia! When I went there and preached, I preached every day to 600 people. What an amazing thing God is doing in that country. In the country of Thailand, there's been a 20% increase in churches and in salvations. In Egypt, you were watching on TV. You saw all the riots that were taking place during the springtime. I want you to know, while that riot was taking place, up in the northern part of the city, Answers in Genesis was there with one of our speakers having a meeting. They didn't even scare them off. And we flew him in, got him in the country. Over 1,000 people attended that meeting every day with the riots going on in downtown Cairo. All power is given unto you so that you can reach this world with the gospel of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God is indeed building his church. And you're part of it. And you ought to walk out of here today, wow, don't we have a great God? And I want to tell you, the church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. Yes, there's persecution. Yes, there's mocking. But the church is still alive. Yes, there are martyrs being made every day. Yes, there's false doctrine. Yes, there's rejection of the Word of God. But the church is alive, exactly what Jesus told the people at Caesarea Philippi. They had no idea what he was saying that day. I will build my church. God is building his church today. And the church of Jesus Christ is marching forward. And in the end, we win. Is that the truth? In the end, we win. Because the Bible says in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, missions as we know it will cease. There won't be any more missions. There won't need to be because we leave in this place. And we will be ushered into the presence of the Lord when Jesus Christ comes back. Our prayer is, even so come, Lord Jesus, right? It could happen today. That would be all right with me. But until it does happen, we are to occupy and reach this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God will give you the power, and God's given you a promise that all power is given unto you, that as you work, God will see your work, bless your work, and honor your work. One of the things we've had the privilege of doing since 1996 is working at the Olympics. We've been to 8 different Olympic Games. We take 100 people with us. And we have seen 5 churches started in Sydney, Australia. We've seen 276 people in Greece come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior on the streets of Athens, Greece. We have seen God do unusual things because the whole world comes together in one place. I'm here to announce today that we're ready to go to Rio. Rio de Janeiro, the next Olympics, 2016. We could use you. We could use you. There are 3.4 million visitors coming to Rio, plus the population of Rio. And the world will be there. 207 countries are now programmed to be there at those Olympics. And we have an opportunity to be there with the gospel. Take in a group of people. We take 100 missionaries, 100 folks just like you, to go and be a part of reaching the world and fulfilling the promise that the Lord has. If you'd like to pray with us and give, we just have a project to raise $25,000 to be able to make this project happen for the glory and the honor of the Lord, and to be able to take these people down there to reach the world. What I'm looking for is 41 people who will give $25 a month for 2 years. No long-term commitment here. That would be the $25,000 we would need to be able to make this mission happen. We did it while we're here living in Chicago. We did it with Answers in Genesis. Now we're doing it with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. I had a meeting last week with the board, and it was unanimously adopted that this would be an ABWE ministry. So you are ABWE people, whether you know it or not, and this is going to be part of our mission work. And we'll find some baseball stadiums down there so some people can come. People who like baseball stadiums can come and see the baseball stadiums in. You getting that message, Dale, back there? Yeah, you come in. Okay. But we'd like to have you a part of that. I'd like to thank you on behalf of Diana for the opportunity to come and share what God's doing around the world. He is building his church, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Global Report. And I trust that God will bless and encourage our hearts today as we walk out of this place. You're part of it. You're part of the program that God is using to reach this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thanks so much for letting me come back. I guess some people can't come back places that they've been before, but I'm thankful that I've been able to come back here, and it's been a joy. God bless you.